All right. Welcome back, everybody, here at Assemble Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We want to welcome those of you who are back here visiting us in a minute. It sure is a blessing to see all the saints gathered back here at church. It's good to be at church. Amen. And we know that as Christians, the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves. So every Christian should be in the church somewhere on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. He rose again the first day of the week. Amen. So it's good to see those of y'all who are back here at church. As you guys know, traditionally, we're just going to go over some quick announcements before we get started with the sermon, if you will, and get ready for the Word of God. Just to remind you guys for our calendar, if you will, I know I haven't updated in a minute. I'm still waiting for some people up here to be willing to step up for the social media. I'm not pointing any fingers, amen. She knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, until then, just remember that next Sunday on the 9th, we're going to have a church barbecue. So the church will provide hot dogs. Somebody out there, amen, I better see you here, amen. And then if you will, just bring whatever else you want for the fellowship. Y'all can bring chips, snacks, whatever that means. Just make sure that you just come with an open heart. We're hoping to get visitors, amen. As you guys remember that some of our friends are sending out mail outs to our neighborhoods. There's like a 5-mile radius or whatever. Hopefully we get visitors. And if we do, we just want to welcome them in Christ's name. And then we want to bless them with a good church barbecue fellowship, amen. So I hope you come back for next Sunday. We're going to have some fun and we're going to have some good fellowship. So with that said, that's what's going on. I do want to just thank our church for helping my wife and I move last week. We officially are in our new place. And it is a blessing. We're in Carlsbad now, and it's not too far from the beach. It's a blessing. We are a little exhausted. We haven't been going to sleep until late these past couple of nights, but we're happy to be here at church. We took yesterday off. So again, I just want to thank Diego, Eileen, Kina, and also Brother Giovanni for all their love and labor that they showed us. So we took care of them for dinner. And thank you guys so much for being a help to my wife and I. It truly means a lot. Amen. Your friendship is very much appreciated. So just keep us in prayer. We're settling in as we speak. And just know that that is going to be dedicated to God and fellowship. So you guys are going to be welcome anytime to come over fellowship with us. And so we just want to thank you guys for those of you who supported us. You guys already know study blogs. You guys can check these out anytime. These are just little articles to encourage your faith. Live stream links. You guys can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Podbean if you want to listen to the MP3 in the background. If you need prayer, most important announcement that we can make, I'm not sure about you guys, but if you guys have been taking some of our prayer cards to people, we want to encourage you to take some of these and just give them to people. As soon as you're done paying for your coffee, paying for your food at the gas station, all you do is just say, oh, and before I go, I just want to leave you a prayer card. Our church loves praying for people. We're here for you. And there it is, guys. We are with the times. There's a QR code, smartphone, y'all. Boom, scan it. It takes them right here so they can submit a prayer request. We have it in English and Spanish. So that way we can just love on people and that's a blessing. So I guess you guys know we're trying our best to be evangelizing as well, reaching to people. So if you have prayer, please do so. Call us. Call Sister Katie. Call Brother Carlos, a family that prays together. There you guys have it. Amen. And then last but not least, guys, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, you guys remain faithful and whatever you purpose within your heart to donate, if you will, of your finances to support this local church here in our needs, you guys can do so in the box back there. We have the PayPal, y'all. We got the Venmo, y'all. We're getting with it. Amen. And just remain faithful. Just you and the Lord. Whatever you say, God, I want to thank you for providing for me. I want to give back to you in your church needs. Here is what I want to give financially of what I've labored to support this church. And you guys can do so anytime. You guys know we don't pass the hat. We don't pass the tray. It's between you and God. Y'all can be obedient anytime between you and him online. Amen. And so those are the upcoming announcements. And other than that, it was just a good week and good fellowship. So again, I just want to thank God for all of y'all who were able to be a help to my wife. And we sure do appreciate your friendship. Amen. All right. So with that said, let's go ahead and get back into the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5. Would you do me a favor? Turn with me in your Bibles there. We're going to continue through our verse-by-verse study. We are going to start an entirely new chapter now. We're making our way through this book of the Bible, Galatians chapter 5. And again, it is a blessing to see some of our friends here, and we just want to thank you for coming. And remember, it's always good to be in church on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. He rose from the dead, and Christians ought to be in church, no matter what church. Just be in a church that preaches the Bible. If they trust the gospel, that you are saved by trusting Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, that he was buried and that he rose again. If you believe that with all your heart, man, you're a Christian There's Christians over there. Just be in church when you can and try your best to get rooted and grounded in a church near you. So with that said, here at our little fellowship, we've been going through the Bible book of Galatians verse by verse. We are now currently in chapter 5. And in this Sunday school hour, we took some time to finish up some last notes on heirship. And I taught you guys that. So if you guys weren't here, you can just watch the archive on YouTube, Facebook, or the Podbean. And so with that said, as you guys know, with our little tradition, whenever we start a new book, I'd like to read through the chapter with you so you guys can get familiar with what we're going to discuss, and then we're going to go through the notes together. Amen. So hope you're with me now, Galatians chapter 5. Let's read now through the chapter, and then we're going to start going through the notes together. All right, my friend, the Bible says, starting in verse number 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ," I'm sorry, guys, let me go ahead and mute that quickly. That was a hindrance last time. Okay. Verse number 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Two times so far we read about that. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye debite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest." It's another way of saying evident, obvious. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So for those who say, well, smoking weed, man, Carlos, it's not in there. Such like, there you have it. Oh, well, watching porn, such like, there you have it. All that evil that you can think of, the Holy Ghost told you, all that. All right, verse 21, "Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But now let's contrast that with something more beautiful than that. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's joy. It's peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. "Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for some of the saints that have come back and visit us in a minute. Lord God, you know the hearts of every soul that's here today. Whoever needs this message, I know that I do. I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to work on us. And I know that you've been working on their hearts through their past couple of weeks, some things that are going on in our private life, and our public life, and our work life. A lot of us have been engaged in the battle with the flesh. A lot of us have been doing our best to be led by the Spirit to do and to fulfill and to feel and to desire more of the fruit of the Spirit. So today, God, as we begin this wonderful chapter 5 of the freedom that Christ provided us as Christians, whoever needs to hear from you today, whoever has eyes to see and ears to hear, God, would you please work on them? Lord, as I say always now, Lord, I pray that aside from my human error, Lord, I pray your Holy Ghost would minister to their spirit from the living word of God that they're going to read today with their own eyes and hear with their own ears. Today, God, no matter how we came in through these doors, I pray that we would leave that much more like Christ, in love with him, desire to serve him, regardless if our husband might not be in the picture, a wife might not be in the picture, parents. I pray that we would leave desiring Jesus Christ that much more for what he has provided us. What we're going to learn today, liberty from sin. So today, God, whoever needs that extra love, that extra joy, that extra conviction, a reminder, I pray that you deliver it how you would. And I pray that you remove me out of your way, God. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins in the precious blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Before we start with the notes, just look there quickly, verse number 24. How many of you guys are Christians? Raise your hand. You've trusted that Christ died for your soul. You trusted that he was buried and he rose again. You trust that. The Bible says then, if you are a Christian, here's what Christ did for you. You're crucified with Christ. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So all the works of the flesh that we read about, everything that you just read about that is a work of the flesh, the Christian, you choose that now. You don't have to do that no more because you're free. There's a supernatural operation that took place when you got saved. The Holy Spirit came into your heart. He came into your body. He made you free from that power of sin. So now for those of us who might not have been in church in a minute, we might have been doing some things we know we shouldn't have in a minute, I just want to let you know before we continue with these notes, if you're a Christian here tonight, you and I have no excuse. We have been given a new heart. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Look at what it says in 25. If you live in the Spirit, you should walk in him. It's your choice today. So no matter how you came in here today, if you're willing to believe the Bible and you're willing to let it be the authority in your life, I hope that you choose the Spirit of God today. I hope that you choose the Word of God even though your flesh doesn't want to. Remember, they're contrary. They're battling. They're fighting right now. Every single day, your flesh and the Spirit of God are at odds because one wants one thing and the other wants another thing. And I'm promising you right now before you go, if you choose Jesus, you will be happier. But when you hate Jesus by not loving his word more than your feelings, that's why you're upset and you're sad and you're bitter and all the flesh. It's because you haven't been using the power that God gave you. All right, now let's go to the notes. That was free. I have a quote. Me and Brother Stephen were talking earlier today in our Sunday school about weaknesses. And here's something that I came up with. Don't excuse yourself from serving him because of your weakness. Rather, find ways to serve him because of his strength in you. One more time. Don't excuse yourself from serving him because of your weaknesses. Rather, find ways to serve him because of his strength in you. Will you do me a favor, church? Turn your Bible quickly to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Me and Brother Stephen were encouraging each other before the Sunday school, and we were just meditating upon the word of our God. Look with me now, my friend, in Ephesians chapter 3, and starting with me in verse number 20. Ephesians 3, verse number 20. The word of God says here, friend, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that worketh in us. So what's the quote? Don't excuse yourself from serving him because of your weaknesses, but rather find ways to serve him because of his strength in you. Today, friend, Jesus Christ has provided for you power. And if you operate off the power of Christ in you, you can serve him. And when you continue to serve him, you know what the Holy Ghost is going to help you to find? Ways. He's going to help you to think about ways and, if you will, experience things and to enjoy things above and more than before you started to do that. So right now, where you're limiting yourself, he's able to give you more that you don't have yet if you let his power operate through you today, my friend. So I just want to give you that encouragement. All right, now let's go back to Galatians chapter number 5. That's going to be our base text. So you guys already know here at church, keep your Bible open to the base text, Galatians 5. You can put a little flyer. You can put a little sticky note, amen. And let's continue to read together starting in verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Today, friend, I just want to remind you of today's theme. We're talking about Christ's liberty that he provides Christians with here today. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I'm here to remind you that you have a greater power in you. You have a greater power that's been given you since the day you got saved. You've been given an inheritance. Some of y'all may not have been using it in a minute. Some of y'all may have put your power on the side for a minute. But I'm here to let you know it doesn't leave. You still have it. All you got to do is pick up that torch where you left it, keep on moving along, and then let Christ continue to prove to you the ability that he can operate through you beyond your weaknesses. Remember, Ephesians 3:20, above what you can think and ask. All right, now, Galatians 5, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Before we get to the notes, I just want you to imagine with me, some of you guys have had the experience of having an entanglement of cords, you know, electrical cords, wires. Some of you guys, when you work in mechanics, cords and wires get all over the place. Your electrical power cords get all over the place. Some of you guys have your little USB cables, your charger cables, if you will, your shoe, what do you call them, shoelaces. You guys get the imagery of when things become tangled. But when it becomes spiritual things, sins, sinful things that we entangle ourselves with, the same way that you got yourself in there, you get yourself out of there. Why? Because Christ made you free. So even though you might not be entangled in a particular sin right now, in a bondage, some things are a little bit more easier to give into than other things. I know that all of us are at different walks with the Lord and our level of maturity that, you know, it might not faze you no more to want to drink alcohol. It might not faze you anymore to want to smoke some, if you will, some dope and obviously have sex out of marriage because we're married now or whatever that might be. But some of us are still engaged in anger or bitterness or wrath, or we're not really faithful to Christ. We're not really faithful to church. We're not really faithful in certain things. Here's what the Holy Ghost wants you to just be reminded of before we continue. Jesus made you free. And if you put yourself back into that entanglement of a sin or a habit, you've been free from day one. And so the same way that you got yourself in there is the same way you get yourself out of there. You walk through that door, brother and sister, you get yourself up on out of that door. He already gave you the power and the ability from the moment you got saved. So there's no amount of sin that is not, untangleable, if that makes sense. You can untangle that. You just have to be willing to trust Christ. You have to be willing to come back to him with your whole heart and say, "My Lord, I'm sorry. I gave my heart to this man too much. I gave my heart to this woman too much. I gave my heart to this thing, to this desire, this habit. I got entangled again." All right, that's okay. Get out of it. What are you waiting for? You're free. You've been free. You're not in darkness. You're not in bondage anymore. You can get yourself up on out of there. It's up to you. So today, friend, don't excuse yourself from serving him because of your weaknesses. Find ways to serve him because of his strength in you. Now, let me give you some quick notes about these keywords that you should be mindful of in the book of Galatians. The word Jesus Christ appears 11 times, Jesus 17 times, Christ 41 times, the law 32 times, promise 9 times, just or justified, or if you will, the variations of that 9 times, the flesh 18 times, faith 23 times, work 10 times, liberty, we only have it 3 times, Galatians 2:4, Galatians 5:1 right here, and then later in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. Let's go ahead and begin to define out what biblical liberty means. What does it mean to be a free Christian? What does it mean where Jesus Christ, it literally frees sinners from the power of sin, that bondage, and have I been walking in my liberty? Or have I been choosing to willingly go back to my bondage? Remember the illustration that I like to give you guys? When you get saved, remember, the analogy is that you were in a prison cell. Some of you guys have been behind bars before, and so you guys get the physical imagery. So you're behind bars. You are unable to free yourself from that because you're physically hindered by the bars. But then when those bars open up, you can literally walk out of your cell, and you can walk right back in your cell. So in this analogy that I just want to give you guys concerning sin and you fighting that all day long, Christ hath made you free from the moment you got born again. I don't know when you got saved. Many of you guys have been saved for a minute. Maybe many of you guys have been saved for years. But some of you guys have been walking in bondage because of your choice. So what do you have to do? The same way you walk back in that cell, the door's been open. You just got to walk right back out and start living free. Amen. It's better out here than in there. How many of you guys remember the works of the flesh? Darkness. It's bad. It's anger. It's bitter. It's temporal for, you know, if you will, enjoying the seasons of sin. But notice, you're not satisfied. But you're free in Christ. So what do you got to do? You got to get out of there. Get out of that cell and start walking back here where there's fruit, there's love, there's joy, there's peace. But you got to choose. You got to choose Christ. So biblical liberty, let's talk about that. Turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 1. Now we're going to start our notes. Let's get on that Bible train together. And remember, this message and our notes are not directed to anybody individually. These are just the Bible verses. But if you feel conviction, that's just the Holy Spirit ministering to your spirit from His Word, not Brother Carlos. This is the living Word of God that we're reading together. Amen? So we're a family. Just remember that. Galatians chapter 1, let's read together now, verse number 4. Biblical liberty. What are we talking about? We're going to remind ourselves of what Christ provides. Starting here, verse number 4, the Bible says, who gave Himself for our what? Sins. Not so you can be more rich. Not necessarily for your health. Wealth, right? Remember that prosperity, unfortunate out there, that teaching. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, He was given to die for your sins. Remember that between you and your Maker, you guys were at odds because of sin. And God's laws condemned you a sinner. And if you died in your sin, that is in your state of rebellion against His Son, you would go to hell because the laws of God justly condemn you for your sin. Now, when you grew up, obviously you and I were little children at some point. At some point you became cognitively aware of good and evil. And when you willingly did the evil that you knew that was wrong, you immediately became accountable before your God. So if you died rejecting Christ, rejecting the gift of God, God will justly give you over to what the law demands, which is just payment for your sins, which is a place called hell. So God had no other way to offer us reconciliation, forgiveness, but sending His Son, who was sinless, who was pure, who was harmless, but on Him would be placed all your sins. So everything that you and I have ever committed, some of us, we were fornicators. Some of us, we were adulterers. Some of us, we were drunkards. Some of us, we were disobedient to our parents. Some of us, all that evil, they were placed on Him. So He gave Himself for our sins so that, now listen to the remaining of the verse, He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So what is biblical liberty? That's right. Jesus loves me. There's nothing wrong with lifting up your hands and all the churches out there, right? Those big churches. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But He doesn't want that fornicator to keep fornicating. He doesn't want that adulterer to keep committing adultery. He doesn't want that disobedient child to keep being disobedient. He doesn't want that sinner to keep drinking alcohol. He doesn't want that sinner to keep stealing over here, keep lying over there. He wants to deliver that sinner. That's the will of the Father. That's biblical liberty. It's not to excuse me to keep sinning. It's to free me from sinning. That's biblical liberty. So that's right. God's love. I'm all thankful for it. I'm all for it. Yeah, amen. Let's raise our hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. But am I letting Jesus, the sinless Son of God, the Savior, deliver me from sin? That's right here in this heart. The desire, the secrets that no one knows about but you and God. Are you letting Him free you? Are you letting Him deliver you from that? If not, why? Because sin is only temporal. It's only, if you will, enjoyable for a season. It's not going to outlast eternal life. You don't want to go into eternity within that state of living. It's going to be horrible for you. You're not going to find peace, if you will, going down to the grave like that. So I just want you to see, number one, biblical liberty. It's Jesus Christ giving Himself to pay for your sins. So that way, if you receive the new life that God the Father offers you, here's what He wants to do. He wants to deliver you from this present evil world. Now, what world, Brother Carlos? Is He talking about my world of my government over here, my finances, my culture? Well, let me show you the Bible. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. As you all can see, we're just going to feed you the Word of God here today, my friend. Galatians chapter 6. Starting here quickly in verse number 14. The Bible says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So, there's a world that you and I now are made free from. That world of sin in my heart. Because you and I are descendants of Daddy Adam and Eve. And they passed upon us that sinful nature. We all have it. Your desires are different than mine, and my desires are different from yours, but nevertheless, notice how you have them. Notice how you battle the flesh. But here's the good news. When you became a Christian, God crucified you from that worldly affection and lust. We just read that in chapter 5. So guys, you have complete power to say no. But if you've been choosing to say yes, that's your fault, and you're going to bear the consequence. But is there forgiveness available? Yes. Is there restoration available? Absolutely. But you have to choose to. You got to walk back out of that cell. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. He already gave you everything you needed. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Bible. He gave you a church. But if you're choosing to say no to the Spirit of God, no to the Word of God, then the only alternative you have to say yes to is the flesh. But that's what he's warning you about. Why do you want to go back to the flesh? Why do you want to enjoy the temporal pleasures of sin for a season, knowing that there's shame? Why not enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and all that goodness? Biblical liberty doesn't give you an excuse to want to continue to sin, but the power to be free from sinning. Don't think about biblical liberty as well as legalism. In other words, when we're trying to teach you how to live for Christ and how to dress for Christ and how to serve Christ in a manner of godly living, that's liberty. That's biblical liberty by which he provides for you to do. Everything else is just the flesh. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to talk about the second mention of liberty here in the book of Galatians. Biblical liberty is what we're talking about. What does Christ provide Christians? Look with me now, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 4. There had a problem. Paul had a problem with some of these folks that would try to come into the churches to bring in some things that were not in agreement with, if you will, Christian doctrine. And he calls them out. He says here in verse number 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Remember, guys, there were in the first century Jews who were being converted to Christ, who grew up their entire life in the religion with Moses and the deeds and the works of the law. And when these Jews began to convert, those Jews who wanted to persecute Christians would try to feign themselves. Remember what that word feign means? They would be a hypocrite outwardly. They might be like, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus too. So they'd go to the church a little bit, hang out, and then before you know it, they start handing out some secret tracts, talking to this Christian over here secretly about this and that and this. And that's what Paul is identifying here in Galatians 2, 4, that these people would come in there who were false Christians, that they were just trying their best to see how are these Jews living now as Christians without the requirements of Moses' law for the Hebrew, because it provides liberty. It provides justification, that is the faith of Christ. And what did they want to do? They wanted to bring them back into bondage. Now, some of you today, you're not necessarily faced with false Christians. You're not necessarily faced with Jews trying to get you back under the law. But my question to you, friend, is who are those people that are trying to come back into your life to bring you back under bondage to sin? What are those things that you might be entertaining that are trying to bring you back to the old you, the old Carlos, the old Leah, the old Stephen, the old Giovanni, the old Eileen? Who and what might be those things that might be trying their best to steal away attention from the liberty that you have in Christ? Now, whatever that might mean or whoever that might be, I'm just here to tell you, it isn't going to last long. It's going to lead to bondage. The best advice that I can give you as Brother Carlos is stay as close as you can to Jesus, to good Christians that are going to continue to promote and to provoke you to walk freely, walk in liberty. Don't walk in darkness. Okay, the second mention of liberty in Galatians, let's go back to chapter 5 and verse number 13. Galatians 5, verse number 13. Good news here for Christian liberty. Let's keep reading. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. So you know what Christ's liberty provides the sinner of? It provides a sinner through the gospel and enables the sinner, that is, when they become a Christian, to do. It provides them the ability to serve others by the power of love. So Jesus Christ in you, remember, he lives in you. He has not only given you supernatural power to resist sin, resist the influence of sin in your life, but he's now given you a supernatural virtue that is himself in you, that is love. And today you have opportunities. Remember, that's what it says. You've been called unto liberty. You have freedom, brother and sister. You're right. You have freedom. But the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't use that liberty for your flesh. You got spare time? You know it's church? Go to church. You got spare time? You know that you're going to go sowing? Go sowing. You got spare time at your day off, but you don't want to call Brother Carlos because you know he's going to call. Come on. What are you doing with that time? And what are you doing with that virtue, this freedom that Christ gave you? You know what God wants you to use with the rest of your life, with that freedom that he gave you? Serve one another by love. But not just any kind of love. Christ's love in you. Again, it's your choice. You can choose to do that. Today, you can choose to love your wife. You can choose to love your husband. You can choose to obey your parents. You can choose to love your pastor. You can choose to serve. That's your liberty. You've been called unto this servanthood, though. That's the command, verse number 13. You've been called unto this, but will you let him? Biblical liberty, that's what it provides. So far we've seen Christ's liberty that he provides Christians is not just spiritual liberty from the wrath to come. You know, we're no longer going to go to hell, Romans chapter 5, but doctrinal liberty from the sentence of condemnation the law pronounced upon all flesh, Romans 3:19. The operation of Jesus providing spiritual liberty doesn't just afford us salvation, but most importantly, his personal faith credited towards all believers so that by virtue of the Holy Spirit in us, we could live like him, we could love like him, and we could serve like him. Turn your Bible now to Romans chapter 15. Today, friend, again, I've just given you the Bible, and I want you to do your best to examine yourself because, remember, it's the first Sunday of the month. At the end of service, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And remember, before you eat that juice and before you drink that, eat that cracker, God commanded you to examine yourself. If you say today, Brother Carlos, you know what, man, I'm not worthy to eat that today. I haven't been walking in liberty. I haven't been faithful to Jesus. Then don't. God doesn't want you to partake of that because he wants you to repent and get your heart right with him. But sincerely, if you say, Brother Carlos, I've been trying my best for these past couple of days and weeks to want to get myself right with God again, and I want to honor the Lord how he commands me, then I invite you at the end of church, partake with us. But I'm just letting you know that there are commands that we have to obey in liberty. Remember, liberty doesn't give me an excuse to do whatever I want. As a matter of fact, what you're going to learn today is Christian liberty gives you the opportunity to obey the commands of God, not freedom from obeying. Let's read together now. Romans chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I know some of y'all want to get bulked up like Brother Carlos, amen. I know Diego wants to get some biceps, amen. That's all right. And some of y'all just need to keep doing a little bit more. You'll get there, amen. You'll get there. But what does God want to use your strength for? To help people who are weak. Today, some of you say, man, Brother Carlos, I've been reading my Bible on my own. I've been doing good. But you haven't been bearing the infirmities of the weak. Then you're not being Christ-like. You're not being a Christian according to the Bible command standard. So there goes that excuse. Oh, man, I feel good, man. I've been listening to this guy on YouTube. I'm doing it all day long with just me and myself and the Lord. Then you're not being a Christian because you're not bearing the infirmities of the weak. You see, biblical liberty, what does it provide? Supernatural strength to love, remember Galatians 5:13, to serve, Galatians 5:13, and to bear the infirmities of someone else who doesn't got their act together, but I do, I can do that. That's Christian liberty. But you can't do that at home by yourself. You have to do that with assembling with yourselves, with others. So now let's keep reading. Look at verse 1. Not to please ourselves. Woo! All day long. Some of us, we battle that. Unless someone does this, then I won't do that. Then you're not being Christ-like. According to Jesus, he didn't do that to please himself. He did what he did to please the Father. He did what he did to get to the cross so that way he can offer you eternal salvation. So whatever excuse you might tell Brother Carlos, that's you might be right. I mean, you really might have a sincere excuse in your flesh to say, Brother Carlos, here's why I haven't been doing and living according to liberty. But before God, you have no excuse. Now let's keep reading verse number 2. Let every one of us, is that every one of us? Is that what it means? Is that what it means in the Greek, y'all? Let every one of us? Yes, what it means. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So you know what Christian liberty provides for you now? the ability to please someone else other than yourself. In other words, not just coming to church for me, but coming to church for someone else so that way I can help someone. I can serve someone else. I can do my best to take maybe some hard-earned money, you know, that Brother Carlos earned working, you know, my wife and I. Maybe we can use some of this to help you. Maybe I can use some of this, little Diego, to help you. I could, if I'm willing, I have liberty. Now look at verse 3. Who's the example? Now get ready. It's not your pastor, so there's your excuse. It's not your wife, so there's your excuse. It's not your husband. There goes that excuse out the window. Look at verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So who's your example? Jesus Christ. So you say you're a Christian, but you haven't been bearing the infirmities of the weak, then you're not being a Christian. You're not walking in liberty. You're walking after the flesh. You say you're a Christian, but you haven't been coming to church or a church, then you're not being a Christian. You're not being biblical in your liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Guys, we're just talking about the scriptures now. Again, no one individual. Look at verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So what are we doing now? We are learning together. Anybody here? That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So today, before you go, what's the source for your hope? The scriptures. Where is the power? The scriptures. Not your pastor, not your spouse, not your parents, not your family members. It's the Word of God. Now look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to who? Christ Jesus. There you go, brother and sister. So whatever excuse you've been giving man on why you cannot do what Christ commanded you to do, you're telling God the Father, hey, Father, I know you gave me eternal life. I know it's a gift. I know you're not going to give it back. I know you're not going to take it from me. But your son is not enough for me because my flesh, I'm entertaining it more than the Spirit of God. So you know what that Bible just told you? God the Father wants you to be like-minded according to his son. But what did his son do? Look at verse number 3. Please not himself. What did the son do? Bear the infirmities of the weak. Verse number 1. What did the son do? Please his neighbor. Verse number 2. So, there goes all the brethren out there who don't go to church, who have an independent relationship. I got my Bible. I don't need to go. It's just me and the Spirit of God. You're being disobedient according to the will of God the Father to be like-minded to God the Son and helping others. That's what Christian liberty provides you today, my friend. If you want to please the Father, start being more like his son, not the pastor, not the church member, not like the weakness of a spouse or a government or a culture. Start being more faithful like the Son of God. He'll help you, amen. He'll help you to do what you know you can do. You've done it in the past. He'll help you to keep going. He'll keep the flame lit. But you have to choose liberty. You have to keep walking in that, amen. Look at verse number 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So who are we to excuse ourselves from fellowship? Who am I to treat you any different? Regardless of everything going on with you wrong before God, who am I to tell God the Father in heaven and the Son at his right hand to say, here's why I can't do what you command me to do because of this, this, this. No, you're going contrary. That's not walking in liberty. That's the flesh. So today, you know what you can do? You can be more like Christ. Do you want to? You can. It's up to you. So the Father's will for all of us is to be like-minded according to the faith of his Son. Here's a side nugget. 3 times the word like-minded appears in your Bible. Romans 15:5, we just read it. We're going to get to Philippians chapter 2, and I'll show you with you there in verse number 2 and 20. So do me a favor now, Philippians chapter number 2. Let's go there now. What am I teaching now? What is Brother Carlos trying to give point? What's the point that I'm trying to bring across to your attention? Here's Christ's liberty that he provides for you, the sinner. You become a Christian. You're born again. You have all Holy Spirit power you need. You have all Holy Spirit love you need. You have all Holy Spirit knowledge that you can gain from him any day of the week, all day long. You can access him all day long because Christ gives you access, Ephesians 3, Ephesians chapter number 2. You can talk to the Father all day long. You can cast your cares and your burdens upon him all day long. But now being like-minded in serving others, being like-minded in resisting sin, that's your choice. And if you haven't been lately, then now you know your problem. It's your flesh. It's not the Holy Spirit in you. It's not a lack of the Holy Bible knowledge in you. It's just the flesh. But as you can see from the Bible, man, you got all available power to you. All right, now, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, remember, he's the person, he's the focus, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do your best to put aside the church you came to today, the Baptist thing or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're talking about just the man, Christ Jesus, the Savior. If there be any consolation in Christ, what is consolation, Brother Carlos? Comfort. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You can't do that if you're not in church. He's writing to churches and he's writing to Christians that they would all do it together, not isolation, not isolation. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's hard when you're walking after the flesh. It's easy when you're walking after the Spirit. So Galatians 5, I have enough Holy Spirit power. Galatians 5, I'm crucified from the world and the world in me. I no longer have to give in to bitterness, anger, wrath, and I no longer have to pick up that bottle. I don't have to smoke that toke anymore. I don't have to fornicate over here and watch porn over there. I don't have to be disobedient to my parents. I don't have to do that. I can choose to walk in liberty. I can choose to walk in freedom. And when I do, the Holy Spirit will help me to keep doing it more and giving it more. But when I say no to him just one time and I entertain the flesh just one time, and if I continue to walk after that opposite direction, no wonder why I believe what I'm doing is okay. It's just my flesh deceiving me. It's not the Spirit. So look what he says there. You know what biblical liberty provides for you, Christian? It provides for you the power to consider someone more important than yourself. Anyone here today? It's getting a little hot. We might need to open that door, y'all. So all I'm telling you is this. You have an opportunity now to serve others by love, bear the infirmities of the weak, Romans 15, and you now have been empowered to consider someone else more important than yourself. This is unconditional, y'all. You do not have to wait until someone meets your standards. You have to be obedient to this command. If you love Jesus enough, if you don't hate him, if you love his word enough to do it, you know what you can do? You can come to church and you can treat me good. And then if I come to church and you walk through those doors, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to treat you good. I'm going to make sure that I do my best to serve you. So then if this church, imagine if all of you guys come here together without the strife, without the vainglory, without the flesh and all the problems, if y'all came to this church with this mindset that God the Father wants for you to have like his son, by considering everybody else more important, we will have the best church on this planet. Is it possible? It's up to you. Do you want to make it possible? Start doing that right now if you haven't been doing it in a minute. Now look at verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what does biblical liberty provide for me now, brother and sister? It provides me the opportunity to consider someone else more important and to consider the things that they're going through in life more important than the things that I'm going through in life. And with the Spirit of God operating through me, I can help them. Before they ask, I can call and say, are you doing okay? I want to do my best to manifest this to you, and likewise you to me. We can help each other. We can go through life together, and we can get the victory together if we want to. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in your church. Is that what it says? No. In your pastor. Is that what it says? Mm-mm. The famous guy you like to watch or girl on YouTube. Nope. In Christ Jesus. So who's the focus? Jesus. Who's the power? Jesus. Who's the one who made you free? Jesus. So now, what is the Father telling you? What is the Spirit of God telling you? Let his mind be in you. Some of y'all, you guys took his mind off a long time ago. What do? Go pick it right back up. Put it right back on and start living again that amazing God life you used to live. Look at verse number 6, talking about Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what did the Holy Spirit just tell me, friend? You know that mindset that was in the Son of God? You have access to that mindset. You can make yourself a servant, but you don't want to. You can make yourself of no reputation, but you don't want to. You can please others, but you don't want to. You can help others, but you don't want to. You can bear the infirmities of the weak, but you don't want to. You can love, but you don't want to. You can, is what I just want to point out to you. And I want you to. And I want you to do as best as you can, every day as you can, as much as you can. Even if I fail, you still do it because he's your Savior. You see? Let's keep reading to verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't worry about someone else who's failing him. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about everyone else who's doing wrong. You worry about your own wrong, and you take care of that, and God will help you. Look at with me now in verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So remember, he provided for you biblical liberty. That's what we're learning about in Galatians 5. You're born again. He's already given you the empowerment and the ability to do it. Okay, how many of you guys believe the Bible is the word of God? Raise your hand. Are you guys going to continue to, all right, agree with me? We need the Bible. It's God's word. Then do all things without murmuring and disputings. That's a command. Whoever you are here today, do it. Stop complaining. Stop excusing. Stop telling God, I can't because, no, you can. Christ was crucified. Christ rose again from the dead. Christ sent you the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Bible. You have a church wherein you can do all these things. You can do them. But you don't want to. Galatians 5. Why? Because the flesh. You've been letting the old man get the victory whenever you go round to round in the boxing ring. But I just want to remind you of the good. You know who you are when you are serving him without murmuring, when you are doing what you need to do, whether it's in the marriage, in your singlehood, at church. You remember the joy you had. You remember the fellowship you had. Remember the peace you had. Remember the confidence you had. Come back to that. Come back to that. He's worthy of it. I might not be, but he is. Now look at verse 15. Why does God want you to be like-minded like the faith of his son Jesus Christ when he was on the earth? Look at here. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know what God says? There's a lot of darkness down here, but there's also some light. Some of y'all have the light. You know how like batteries, when they start losing some juice, that little light, it doesn't shine as bright? That's what happens when you walk after the flesh. It's not bright anymore. It's a little light, amen? It's a little bit right there. I can kind of see it through a magnifying glass. Just a little bit of flame, but it ain't like it used to be when everybody could see that bright LED light coming down the street. God wants you to continue to walk in the liberty of his son, to be conformed to his son, to let his son live through you and the Holy Spirit to operate through you, so that way the next time you're surrounded with someone who doesn't know him, you're going to stand out before him. There is a crooked and perverse nation. All this world is in darkness, but you're supposed to be the light on the hill. You're supposed to emanate and reflect to people who are broken in sin, who can't find love and joy in Christ, who are addicted to drugs, porn, sex, alcohol, everything under the sun that you and I once were. You're supposed to be the light to them. But when you don't choose Christ and you don't walk in liberty, no wonder, can nobody tell who's light and darkness in the workplace and the family? So you know who you are. You have the light in you. Just come back to it. Let Christ operate through you. How many of you guys have a Bible? Anybody? You have a Bible at home? Look at verse number 16, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. Now, some of you guys are parents. Some of y'all have had children, amen? And that baby's precious to you. I doubt that any of you tonight would be willing to just drop your child on the floor and let it become injured and you know, obviously suffer because you failed to be a faithful parent and negligent to the health and benefit of your child. But some of y'all, that's how some of y'all treat the Bible. You don't hold it forth as if it's precious. Some of y'all just drop it on the floor. Some of y'all, it's over there on the nightstand and it hasn't even been open in months. Some of y'all, that Bible your pastor gave you when y'all were, we're not talking about the King James Bible for a minute. We're just stick with me. Just the Bible, the Word of God. Some of y'all don't even read that Bible your pastor gave you. Your wife bought you. Your spouse bought you. Some of y'all are just not even giving into it at all. You're not holding forth the Word of life. This right here, it's the Word of life. I need to drink water or else I'm going to die of hydration. I need to eat food or else I'm going to die of starvation. I need to consume the Word of God. If not, my soul is going to be dehydrated. My soul is going to be dehydrated of the substance that it offers me. No wonder why I'm weak. No wonder why I'm weak. No wonder why you've been weak, brother and sister. Now you know why. But you want to get strong again like you used to? Here's what you do. Pick that Bible up again. Start reading this thing every single day, asking God the Father to illuminate your eyes like they once were. And say, God, I'm so sorry I put this in front of your son. I put me in front of your son. I put this addict or this habit before Jesus Christ. Father, forgive me. I need that back. Father's ready to give it to you. He's a good God, amen. How many of you guys believe he still loves you? Mm-hmm. That's right, all of y'all. Prodigal sons out there, he still loves y'all. But you just need to come back home. All right, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Obviously, guys, not everybody's going to be a strong believer. Not everybody's going to be perfect in this walk with God. But don't let that be your excuse, like I told you. You strive to please Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Now, who is Paul talking about the proof of this Christian? Go back to verse 19. He's talking about this guy named Timothy. You guys know him. So when Paul is considering Christians who were faithful with him in missions and ministry, you know what he said? But you know that guy. You know Timothy. Man, he's faithful. Y'all know that. You know he goes to church. You know he reads his Bible. You know he's evangelizing. You know he's soul winning. You know he's being a solid believer. And so that's why he's going to commend him. He's going to send him. I have a question. Where is the proof of your profession before others? Where is the proof of your Savior through you unto others? Not just by the knowledge you think is important, but his virtues and his character and his mindset and his conduct in you. Do people know that you're a Christian? Has there been proof from your life that emanates to them that, man, that's a light over there? In other words, while there's darkness at the party, they can tell there's light in you. Because you're serving and you're seeking the things which be of Christ. He's important to you. You understand what we're saying here? Side nugget, and that's what I just want to share with you. Where is that evidence? Okay, before we close, I know that it's been said that we need to be followers of Paul. We got to follow Paul, follow Paul, follow Paul. But you know who Paul wants you to follow? He wants you to follow Jesus. If Peter ain't walking upright, you don't follow Peter. If Paul ain't walking upright, you don't follow Paul. If Pastor Carlos ain't walking upright, you don't follow Pastor Carlos. You follow Jesus Christ. Let me give you these mentions now before we come to a close. Do me a favor. Just look up to the screen for now. I'll read them out to you, but then we'll go together to the other ones. Do me a favor now. Turn your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to leave you with this before we take the Lord's Supper. Ephesians chapter 5. What are we talking about again, my friend? Christian liberty. What he provides. Before you think, we need to all just follow Paul, follow Peter, follow Apollos, all the New Testament apostles, prophets, etc. Let's go back to the one who supersedes them all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, look with me now, verse number 1. The Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, how do I do that, Brother Carlos? Walk in love. That's what he said over and over again in Galatians 5. He said, Christ's liberty gave you the ability to love and serve others. Did he not tell you that? He told you that in Galatians 5. Can you believe that you just walking in love is following God? Can you believe just loving your spouse as God commanded you is being a follower of God? Can you believe loving church members as God wants you to is following God? Can you believe you're actually doing that right now, that you can actually say, man, I'm being obedient? I'm doing that. I'm walking in love. He says, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So if Christ is the example, remember, I gave you all the Bible today, Romans 15, Galatians 5, Galatians 1, all these places, the mind of Christ, Philippians 2. God the Father is going to point to his Son, and the Son is going to point to the Father. Just like the Trinity has taught you, just like the Trinity has shown you, you need to follow their footsteps. Now look at what it says, be followers of God, God the Father, okay? Do me a favor, go back to chapter 4, and let's go all the way down to the last verse with me. Look at there. This is really interesting. Watch this, my friend. My wife and I, we read this together right here when we were sitting down having our devotional. By the way, us husbands, it is our responsibility and duty to teach your wife, the pastor to your wife, the priest to your wife. But if you ain't following Christ, you cannot be the successful and the sufficient emanation of Christ to your wife. But you can start again today. Every day that you wake up is another day to repent and say, Lord, help me where I left off, because your wife deserves Christ through you, my friend. Now listen. He says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, so here it is. Biblical liberty. I'm a Christian now. It doesn't matter my first birth. It doesn't matter Mexican, Chicano, whatever. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with our faith in Christ. Let's put away all the culture, all the celebrations. Oh, I just grew up like this, brother. I just grew up. No. You're in Christ. Put away the excuse. You have a new heart. There's a new mind. You can now do the things that God has commanded you to do. He just told you in chapter 5 to be followers of who? God. Look at what he just told you in chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another. Who was kind? God. All right. Be tenderhearted. Who was kind? Who was tenderhearted? God. Forgiving one another. Who was forgiving? God. And then look at verse 32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So now, chapter 5, verse 1, listen now, this is really good. Be ye therefore followers of God. So now, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, are your example on who to follow as the conduct and, if you will, the obedience and the mind and the heart that you have to others. You can't run anywhere else now. You can't run. You can't run from the Father's example. You can't run from the Son's example. And you cannot run from the Holy Ghost's example. You got too much good examples to follow. Don't worry about your daddy who wasn't there. Don't worry about your mom who wasn't there. Don't worry about anyone else. You have the Godhead who lives inside your heart who says, you can do it, son. You can forgive like me, son. You can love like me, son. Daughter, you can be tenderhearted like me, daughter. Because that's how I was with you when I forgave you through my son. All right, go with me now. One more here in Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me now, verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So today, my friend, you have the Trinity as an example to follow after the liberty that Christ provides you, my friend. Should I follow Jesus? Absolutely. I don't have the notes to go over the following after me, but God willing, next Sunday, we'll pick it up. What I want to leave you with. Do me a favor, let's go to chapter 3. We're going to close here. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to close here. Is the Bible so good? Anybody? Is the Father sufficient? Is the Son sufficient? Is the Holy Ghost sufficient? All right, so there goes all our excuses. We know we have sin. We all battle with it. But you have God in you, the Godhead in you. Today, as much as you want, you can have all the power operating through you. You can have love, joy, peace. It's your choice, brother. And I'm telling you, if you just keep doing it God's way, he already promised you all the happiness and the joy and the love. Just come back. Come back to God. Look with me now. We're going to close here. Ephesians chapter 3. Go with me now to verse number 14 through 21. We're going to close here. I think in light of everything that we learned, this might be one of the reasons, not all, but one of the reasons why the apostle was willing to do everything for Jesus, why he was willing to be beaten, stoned, almost killed, hungered, shipwrecked, going to prison, getting his head cut off because of everything that he learned from the mind and heart of Christ. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now listen, here's what he's going to pray now that God the Father would do for you. Listen, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's Galatians 5. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's Galatians 5. That ye may be rooted and grounded in love. Man, it's all about love. I'm telling you, it's been everywhere we just read today. Galatians, man, love, love. Philippians, love. Now you know why there hasn't been much love in your life, brother and sister. It's because you haven't been letting the Spirit ground you. You haven't been letting Christ teach you. But today, you can start over again. It's a new day. The Bible says in the Old Testament that His mercies are new every day. Don't worry about yesterday. It's already past. Don't worry about what you did 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. It's already forgiven. Just start today enjoying liberty. Anybody here? Now listen, we're almost done. And that also, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants to give you more of Himself, brother and sister. But you just have not been letting Him. But He wants to. Do you see there? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So last verse, and we'll close with prayer. Galatians 5, our base text. All of you who are born again Christians today, here's what biblical liberty means. Here's what Christ's liberty that He provided for you means. All that we just read today. But will you let Him keep teaching you? Will you let Him keep growing you and grounding you in love? Last verse, and we're going to pray together. Stand fast. You have to stand fast. You got to stay right there with Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Your past doesn't dominate you anymore, brother and sister. Your mama, your daddy, they don't dominate you no more. You're free. You got a supernatural power. Lucifer, he can't do it unto you unless you let him. Devil, don't be blaming the devil anymore, amen? But you got to stand. I hope you will. Let's go ahead and pray. My Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for the grace and the mercy that you have shown us as sinners by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. We thank you that He was buried. We thank you that He rose again from the dead. We thank you that all who call upon His name to be saved, you save them. We thank you that you are faithful to your promise. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus sends to dwell in our hearts. Today, God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for eternal security of our salvation. We thank you for the Holy Bible. But God, a lot of us, we have not been standing fast in that liberty. We've been struggling in our flesh. Some of us have been back in that darkness, God. But if your Bible is true, which I believe it is, God, that power has never left Him. That light clearly has never been removed. It's still there. And if there are any of your children here today that seek to be restored with you and their walk with you and their love for you and their love for other Christians, I pray that today might be their day of rededication and their heart with you to once again walk with you in love, in fellowship, just like we read over and over again, filled with love, rooted in love, grounded in love to serve others. Father, I thank you for every soul that is here today. It brings my heart so much joy to see some of the saints here today, God. But Lord, I know it brings you more joy when your children are following you. So today, Father, all of your children here today, they have you as an example, they have your Son as an example, and they have the Holy Ghost as an example. Today, Lord, would you help us all as a family to continue to walk after that example that you set before us. So now, Lord, would you prepare our hearts to receive the communion, and I pray that we would all do it, examining ourselves now before we do. We commit the rest of this day into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my friends, let's go ahead and prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper.